Unfiltered Love Radio. Yo, what's good, Unfiltered Love Radio? It's your guy, Calistens, because I listen from heaven to earth to me to you and sell it all in love. I'm the Freedom Coach, and you know what you're tuned in to. Woo! Yes, it's Black History Month. I know you guys probably have not heard the Black National Anthem in these segments of Black creativity, but trust me, I have a whole day that I'm dedicating to those who've come before us because, you know, we stand on their shoulders and we are their legacy, so we become who they are. And y'all know, if you know anything about me, I love Black people. I love being Black. I just enjoy the whole aura, the whole being of everything. If it's your first time listening to Unfiltered Love Radio, guess what? Welcome! Hey, I welcome you. And because I want you to understand what we do, why we do it, the element that we're in. My job, my goal, my mantra, my purpose in life is to reach 7.8 billion people. Well, I don't know. China done killed off a few billion with the coronavirus, but we won't even go there with that. And who knows what America's going to do when it gets here? Well, it's here, but who knows what they're going to do? But anyway, God, pray, meditate. Have your little spiritual enlightenments, whatever you gotta do, because we are in the end days and we need to figure out what we're gonna do. But that's not the goal of the station. The goal of the station is that we reach 7.6 billion, 8 billion people. And when it's 2030, I wanna reach 8 billion because that's what our current census is projecting that it will be, right? I don't do that by myself. I do that with you. I do it when you like, share, subscribe, take on the thoughts and the vision, and you go out and you love people unfilteredly. Our job is to make you lit, to make you lifted, inspired, and transformed. Yes, I want you to be lit, lifted, inspired, and transformed, so that way you can be free and live your mega life. So here we give you the tools, the strategies, the elements, everything you need in order to live that life. There's classes available. There's, you know, you just, like, go follow me on other social media, okay? And you can see all the products that's available. There's merch and all that. But our whole goal is that we become a collective community that can push each other forward, that can propel life, and that can talk about love being unfiltered. Now, love is not always this rainbow, candy, just wonderful time, sunshine days. No, sometimes love hurts. Sometimes it's painful. Sometimes you feel emotional. Sometimes you feel depressed. Love is a whole gamut of emotions packed in one, and we separate it and say that we're consistent and committed, because at the end core of love is commitment. At the end of love is commitment, but we'll get into that later. We got a special guest for you today in the studio. We gonna get popping. We gonna get this thing started. I'm so happy for everybody that listen. Ah, man, y'all come back week after week after week and listen to the things I have to say. This week, I really want to tell you one thing. I really want to tell you about remembering to write your vision, remembering to make it plain, remembering to come up with a plan, remembering not to be distracted. Your vision is so important and so imperative, because it's only one you. There's only one you. And only you can do what you're supposed to do to populate the rest of the world. Be fruitful and multiply doesn't just mean be go out and have sex with a bunch of people and have a bunch of kids and procreate and make the world. Yes, that's a part of it. But the other part is be fruitful in your gifts. Be fruitful in your talents. Be fruitful with your time, your money, your finances. See, you have to multiply all of those things in order for you to be the whole person you're supposed to be. And so as we go on and we're moving on into going into the next month, I'm going to really hone in on purpose and what it is to have purpose and what it is not to just live on purpose and do purpose, but what it is to become your purpose. When you become the person that you're supposed to be, the whole universe is aligned to follow what you say. I know that's kind of deep for some of y'all and some of my church people out there. You're like, but the Bible says, no, you just didn't read it correctly. But we'll talk about that another day. You're listening to Unfiltered Love Radio. I'll be back. It's your guy, Calistens. Unfiltered Love Radio. Yo. So we're back. Woo! Look, man, let me tell y'all, before we start anything, before I have anything to say, remember to go vote. Super Tuesday is coming. Elections are coming. And remember, like, voting for the presidential elections is all good and fine and dandy, but it makes no difference if you pay attention to the impeachment trial that we have an impeached president who was acquitted. So it makes no difference if you don't vote for your local congressman, if you don't vote for your city, if you don't vote for your state. If you're not voting the local and the smaller elections, the national ones really don't matter as much. So when you say your vote doesn't count, yes, it doesn't count because you didn't vote properly or you didn't vote at all. And if you didn't vote at all, don't talk to me, please. Thank you. So We got special guests in here today. Man, I've been waiting for this person to come on my show forever. I've adopted this person as being my twin. There's very few people that think and act and can just respond to things the way I do, especially when they're of the opposite sex. Yes, so it's a girl in here today, I know. We have a lot of guys come on the show, but I really wanted to get some of that female energy in here and some of that girl power, you know, in here to really talk and share their creativity and their thoughts and their feelings, because it's important and it's needed, and we have to have opposites in order to procreate. So, my special guest today, introduce yourself.
Hello, 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 unfiltered love. This is your girl, Judy Onwanga. If you don't know me, now you know. Now you know.
And hell no, they don't know you. Now they know.
Now
no,
you know.
You ain't told them nothing but your name. So go Facebook her or some shit.
Go
I didn't tell you to plug yourself. It's the time for that. This is not it.
All right. Well, this is your girl, Judy Onwanga. My artist name is Judy K.O., J.K.O. for short. Letting them know I pulled a little Childish Gambino. Y'all know how you got the Childish and the Donnie. That's me. I got it all. I does it all.
It's so funny because one of my brothers, he was on the show last year, and his name is J.K.I. And I was maybe like, just for jokes. And he always be like, bro. I'm like, nah, just joking, I mean. So, you know, J.K.O. So I'm like, just joking, okay?
Okay.
So Judy, why did I want you in this studio today?
Let me know.
Man, so for a while I followed you, we talked, and I feel like I follow a lot of people stalkerly. And I tell these stories, and everybody's gonna be like, bro's a stalker. So if you have any talent, he will stalk you. Which is a true statement, because I love new talent, I love new people, and I love like creativity. So you have this power and this creativity that comes from a place of honesty. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of women don't have that. Or a lot of women and no offense to women, but are so captivated in their emotions that they forget that they're powerful. Mm-hmm. So how do you, as a black woman, kind of embrace that? And you got your little stones on your head and mm-hmm. your little crown, and you know. So you already got a crown on without even wearing the stones. But you know, I'm gonna let you live.
Okay,
right now.
The way I get through this is being myself in entirety. And not only am I understanding myself when I do this, I'm understanding others. Mm. Like when I was younger, I was a fluctuating person. For a while, I thought I was supposed to be a little boy. So I dressed up in boy clothes, pulled all my hair out. I didn't like to be dressed, get pretty, none of that. I didn't really get in touch with my feminine side of things until I hit middle school.
So wait, you say that. And one of the things we got going on in the world right now is these, you know, intersex, transgendered, mm-hmm. and just switching, you know, your gender. And Dwayne Wade, fortunately and unfortunately for him and Zaya, that they decided that, you know, Zaya is going to now be referred to as Zaya. Mm-hmm. You know, and I look at me, I call her Zaya. And I've already adopted her. What made you, I guess, not know that you didn't want to go that far, but you did want to accept your tomboyness, as we can call it that?
A lot of people don't understand how strong pheromones and hormones are. You can dress up like this and dress up like that, but the body wants what the body wants. My first kiss was a girl. I kissed a boy after that. I liked it more.
I kissed a boy and I liked it more.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah. So, okay.
The body and the heart wants what it wants, and you can't really control that.
So even though you felt tomboyish,
yes,
you still were attracted to men.
Exactly.
So do you think your story would have been different had you been attracted to that girl that you kissed and that would have been it? Do you think your life would have been different? How would your family have reacted?
Well, I still have an attraction to women.
Okay.
It's never went away. It's
okay.
always been there, but there's a stronger, like, infatuated feeling towards men. Like,
right.
It's the warmth, the cuddling, and the domination.
I mean, we big, and we got hair on our face, so you know.
Like, when I deal with women, I'm the more dominant one. I'm running things, I'm in control. That's how it is.
So, do you feel like because of your dominant personality, mm-hmm. sometimes it's like, let me take advantage of this. So does that mean that you don't deal with like androgynous or weak men?
I did, and then I realized that it just was not for me. And then I started dealing with someone who actually decided to take some control. And my whole mindset of things just hit a full 360. Like, I never apologized to a man before. I always down-talked on them, made them feel inferior in every way. And I didn't realize I was doing these things until I had a different perspective.
So, where did you even learn that, you know, I treat men and women differently? And then, not only am I going to treat men and women differently, I'm going to degrade a man.
I don't know. It just, I always felt like they weren't living up to this expectation that I had in my mind. Not even realize that I wasn't even living up to my own expectations. Because this whole time I'm like, you're supposed to be doing this, you're supposed to be doing that, but I wasn't even doing what I was supposed to do. I wasn't being considerate of feelings, I wasn't being sentimental or even gentle. Like, all of my
So did you feel like men didn't have feelings or emotions, or did you feel like they were able to take the abuse that you were giving them? Don't answer that. You listen to Unfiltered Love Radio. We'll be back with the answer, because I need to know, because I'm a man and shit ain't about to punk me. I ain't want to. Unfiltered Love Radio. So we talked about creativity and doing all this, and she mentioned, she was like, well, we just went out started. We talked about nothing about my art and what I do and those things. Like, yeah, we're gonna get there. But we're talking about how our art is really the manifestation of who we are and who we're becoming and the things that we've been through and how we've been through it. But let's finish answering this question about men. So I mean, tell us.
So really, it was a mixture of both. It's like, you're a man, you should be able to handle certain things. Or sometimes I didn't think they were taking certain things seriously. Mm-hmm. Like one Valentine's Day, the boyfriend I had for like 5 years, he didn't have any money, but he brought me a ribbon and it was supposed to be symbolic. Mm-hmm. I thought he was joking.
Was it a ribbon in the sky?
He didn't say it was a ribbon.
I'm just wondering.
He brought me a red ribbon. It was supposed to be symbolic. Mm-hmm. And I threw it on the dresser. And then I came back the next day. It was on the floor. He was like, you didn't even take the ribbon that I got. I was like, get out of my face talking about that ribbon. Now you know you playing with me talking about something. You got me a ribbon for Valentine's Day. He was like, I was serious. That was a real sentimental gift. I said, whoops, my bad. I didn't even say my bad. I never apologized.
Oh, we're going to get into that. Ooh, yeah, that's good. That's a good conversation, because there's a lot of egotistical people that don't apologize, but they don't know that they're prideful. So we're going to get into that in a second. But so you take the ribbon, you leave it on the floor, bro walks in the room like, hey, yo, what the hell? And you just like, just disregard like everything that has to do with, that's insane. And so it's almost like, is that a learned behavior? Did you see other women doing that to men? Or did you see men acting not accordingly, and you just said, I'm not putting up with this because they're acting that way and I'm not going through what these other women in my life are going through?
See, everything I do and I've learned in life is a culmination of everything I've experienced. My mother wasn't for the BS. My mother, she was the dominant one in my relationship, whether it was a man or whether it was a woman, because my mom did with men and women too. Mm-hmm. But no matter what relationship she was ever in, dominant one. My mom's last husband, she punched that man down the stairs.
I mean, push me down the stairs. You push me down the stairs, you got one good damn time. But that's okay. So part of it's learned. So let's talk about not apologizing. Even as a child, were you this stubborn, like, and not apologizing? Or was it certain situations you're apologizing and then?
I'm still this way to this day. If I feel like I'm right, I'm right.
Oh, so you're narcissistic. Got it. Thank you, Donald Trump. So we have a Trump in the studio. We have a Trump in the studio, people.
I figured this out the other day. I'm in the shower and I'm like, in my mind, I'm rehashing things that I've been through and I've done, and I'm like looking at them and I'm like, yo, I'm a little sadistic. I'm a bit of a narcissist. I'm egotistical. I can be emotionless and a robot at times. Mm-hmm. Like one dude, he's literally crying, bawling in front of me as I'm breaking up with him. And I'm just like, so I tried to fake cry.
Nigga, next?
I started fake crying in front of him so he wouldn't feel any type of way. But when I walked out, I was like, I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel anything.
Interesting. So building up that much tolerance and that much emotions, and you're very pro-black, and you're very into your spiritual nature. However, your physical seems to overtake that. So how are you so in tune with being a spiritual being if your flesh is always the one in control?
Well, it's constantly a battle. Sometimes I let my emotions take over. Sometimes I let my physical take over. A majority of the time, it's my mind that's battling between the two.
Yes. So when your mind is battling between the two, because that's a good thing, you know, we talk about this. I'm a counselor in mental health. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes we do things that we really don't want to do, but it just happens to come out of a place that we didn't even know we had inside of us, right? Mm-hmm. And so when we're pulling that, we're attracting certain energy and certain vibes and certain people. Do you feel like that you attract either more dominant men or women or less dominant so you can feel like you're in control because you can kind of do what you want with them?
So what I realized, I have this very strong, boastful energy. I attract all.
Okay.
No matter weak, strong, anything. People are naturally attracted to me, and it's something I truly can't help. Like, a lot of people think I'm a natural flirt. I mean, maybe I am. I don't know. I'm just being me.
Right.
I'm just myself.
That's always so weird because I get that a lot. Like, oh, you're flirting with this person. We went to, like, I had this one girlfriend. I promise. Every time we would go out, and it's probably why I don't take girls out now. So if y'all listen to this, y'all hear y'all about there some of my heart wounds.
We don't date.
It's but that's this thing. I took this girl out, and she said I was flirting with the waitress in front of her, and she really got upset and was ready to leave the restaurant. So you know me, I'm petty. I was like, well, I drove here, so you can go ahead and go. And could you leave your half of the check? But we ain't talking about me. We talking about you right now. But I'm just I get that flirt thing, and it bothers me because I'm naturally nice, and naturally nice people either get taken advantage of, mm-hmm. or we have to build up this kind of shell and this hardness that we really don't
want to
be.
I don't want to be in a shell. Like, only recently, like since the beginning of this year, like, I've been having this really strong spiritual journey. I'm discovering myself. I'm discovering things that traumatized me as a kid that I didn't even realize traumatized mm-hmm. me. And I'm opening up. I told you about me being in foster care. More than half of the people that I grew up with and knew me for years don't even know that.
Well, they know now.
They know now. What up, y'all? I was in foster care since like the age of 5 up to probably the age of 8.
Right.
It was a fluctuating thing. I was here with my mom here and there, but it happened.
So, and that's funny because, you know, people never know people's life journeys and struggles and whatever they're going through. And so one of the things I'm really big on is if I'm out in public and I see somebody have like a resting bitch face or one of those things, y'all know I ain't editing that, right? Because y'all know. but one of those things, I tend to be like, you're really pretty. Now, if they ain't pretty, I ain't saying that. I'm going to just say hi and keep pushing. But if they're pretty and I've noticed that, because I realize that there's some kind of disconnect. There's some kind of, I see the world from a perspective or from a lens that's not positive. And so, having gone through all of those things you went through, having been able to go from transition to all of this, how do we get the artist that you are?
Me finally coming to a place where I was like, I want to be here. This is where I want to be. This is the environment that I want to keep. These are the friends that I want to have around me.
Mm-hmm.
And I really truly started discovering my spirit. I hated negativity. I hated arguments. I hated being upset. Everybody knows Judy to be the bubbly, happy-go-lucky person that she always is.
So wait, you're happy and bubbly and go-lucky, but you're dominant. We're going to talk about this when we're coming back. You're listening to Unfiltered Love Radio. So we're back. We're talking to Judy and Wanga. You know, you gotta say it like her. You gotta flip your head.
I'm Wanga.
Gotta flip your head a little bit. Throw your head up.
Make sure the stones swing.
Right. You know. So we talked about trauma. We talked about so many things already. Like we're not even deep into the episode yet. And so we're talking about how your pain became your art. So first off, let's tell the people what you do. What kind of artist are you? And you have many multi-talents, so don't limit them. Because if you do, I'm going to call you out on it. So let's go.
Okay, let me go down the full list. Okay, y'all. So when I was younger, I probably was about 5 or 6 years old. The first thing my black behind started singing was opera.
Opera. So you started singing opera. So if I tell you to go, See, she's able to do that. Okay, continue.
Okay. So, boom. From there, I decided to become classically trained. And in the midst of me becoming classically trained, I fell in love with show tunes. Mind you, I was a little girl who had 2 left feet. I didn't know how to dance. Danced like a chicken. Then randomly.
Not now, because she'd be twerking everywhere. But anyway, go ahead, continue. I ain't going to let them know your
Like,
your
I don't
business.
Know where my ability to dance came from. It came out of nowhere. Like, I danced like a little chicken.
Let me tell y'all a story real quick. This girl, I had a show.
Oh, God.
Had a show in Virginia Beach. And she was going to sing backup for me. But before that, we had this little club, you know, waiting for the show to start. And she had hurt her foot, just injured herself. I'm telling this story. I know you're just looking at me like, I'm still going to tell
you. Oh,
anyone.
My God.
And she puts her crutch up and starts twerking on one leg, and the bad leg was just like in the air, just flapping around. I was like, I've never seen somebody throw their crutch down just to twerk because it's so good. It was like, one time for your birthday. I was like, okay. This is what we do. But anyway, come finish telling people about your talents.
Oh, my God.
As I tell embarrassing stories.
You guys, I couldn't dance. Then randomly, when I hit middle school, I was just really good at it. Joined the dance team on 6th grade. Boom. Going off from there. Then I joined the step team. Chorus in middle school was so different for me because chorus is like, you just take a music classes when you're in elementary school. It's art. It's just art. But in middle school, you have a chorus class. You work on a whole criteria of different things. I started getting into more gospel, more R&B, more smooth. But I was always a fan of soul and jazz.
That's right.
Always fan of soul and jazz.
Favorite jazz artist?
Ella Fitzgerald.
Ella!
More news, baby. 757. Right.
But she grew up in L.A. because she was my mama's babysitter. Keep
so
going.
What?
South Central.
And then when I discovered show tunes, it was like a whole new different world. But mind you, let me bring it back. My mother was so culturally inclined. We watched.
Now, when you say culturally inclined, what do you mean by that?
Like,
what is that definition? Because we have a lot of culture vultures, mm-hmm. and we have a lot of people who use the word culture out of content and context.
Exactly.
And so what was culturally inclined? Let's define that real quick.
Okay, my definition of culturally inclined means you see a culture, you embrace that culture, and you understand that culture.
And so the culture for you, when we say culture, is what? Is it black culture? Is it African culture? Is it
my culture? It would have, I'm the definition of African American. I'm a first generation American. My father is from Kenya. My mother is a Virginia native, but she is Jamaican.
And see, and that's what I love that you say that you're African American, because I never identify as African American.
Exactly.
I really get pissy because I only have grown up in America. I've never had dual citizenship. My family are not, I'm not first generation here, but I'm definitely black. And so when we talk about the diaspora and we talk about being of African descent, that's great. I am all of those things, but I'm not African American because I don't hold dual citizenship. Continue.
I say that a lot, though. I always call black Americans,
right.
African Americans, African Americans.
Right.
Because I can pinpoint where I came from.
Right.
So many, almost all black Americans cannot pinpoint where
they I know I can't. This year I've decided whether they clone my DNA or not, because I watch too much X-Men. But I'm definitely going to do African ancestry because I think there's parts of me that's stuck in Africa that I need to know why I do what I do, why I'm attracted to what I'm attracted to, and why do I act the way I act, and where did my energy come from? I think a lot of my energy did come from my ancestors, and that I'm able to do certain things. However, not being able to say,
That's where it is.
That's where it is, and being able to just to say, okay, I accept this. Because some things you just don't accept because it's not American culture and American tradition, and that's all you know.
And that's what I'm getting at here. Most Americans only know what Americans know. My mother made sure we knew about Asian culture, European culture, Black culture, and even certain cultures that you wouldn't expect Black people to know about, like Broadway culture and what else? Rock music. My mom made sure we knew about rock music, all kinds of music. Like, I saw Grease at the age of like 4 years old.
Me too.
Like,
but my mom is kind of cultured as well, and
exactly.
And she loved like hip hop and pop culture, and me being able to grow up around people who are hip hop pioneers and pillars that I don't really share those stories because I think they're personal to me. Some people know who these people are, and you know they're very revered. But I think those stories are personal and shared with me. And every now and then, when people get close, I'll tell those. So being able to have that influence, and for us, Hispanic culture is very big. Mm-hmm. And then coming to find out, part of my family is Panamanian and Honduran, and you're like, oh wait, and you get this Caribbean side.
Boy, look at that!
You
hair.
Put all that. Yeah, my hair is curly. I don't call it good hair, but because you know everybody here is good.
I hate that term. But,
yeah, if you have hair, you say it right. Like it can, you can create it to be good. It's called a put some, take care of it, wash it. And my shrinkage is crazy, but I don't even know how we got on here. But y'all, listen up, Filter Love Radio. We'll be back. Yo, what's good, Filter Love people? You're listening to your guy, Calistus, because I listen from heaven to earth to meet to you and sell it all in love. You are now listening to Unfilter Love Radio. Stay tuned. So we're back. Over the break, we was talking about some stuff. I wonder, when you say that you have this art, you're classically trained, you're able to do all of these theater things, where do you see yourself going? Where are you now in the process? And where do you see yourself going? And what's your plan on getting there?
Okay. So, y'all, I'm highly obsessed with the golden age of Hollywood. Where if you are out...
What's the golden age of Hollywood? Let these people know.
The golden age of Hollywood is basically the 40s.
Hey, okay, folks? There you go.
All right. When Flappers was popping. And if you were in Hollywood, you had to know how to do everything. If you couldn't dance, act, sing, model, you had to go. That's where I'm at. That's what I'm doing. I'm making sure I can do everything because I can do everything.
So this really amazes me. Golden age of Hollywood, who would be that... Who for you, who's that like that model person that you would want to become?
Dorothy Dandridge.
I knew you were going to say that. So that brings me to my next question. Because, you know, this is we talk about Black creativity, and that's why you're here. So you have Dorothy Dandridge, right?
Mm-hmm. Who sang opera.
And was there in the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
But couldn't vote.
Couldn't vote. Couldn't even put her foot in a pool without the entire thing being drained.
Right.
My point...
It was entertaining white people.
White folk.
Never in her own community. Very rare.
Never.
So, you admire this time frame.
I admire the art of the time frame. I don't admire the climate, the politics, none of that. I admire the art. And if anyone could possibly say that's not when art was at its highest... You're lying.
The Renaissance is when art was at its highest, but that's because my favorite writer was there, Sir Langston Hughes.
They weren't
Hughes.
Doing film.
It don't matter. Sir Langston Hughes create. There will be, without the Harlem Renaissance and these people migrating from Chicago and being able to, or from all over really, but really for that Chicago swing, being able to go over there and just create the art that was there and
you're
be
right.
able to have the writing and the foundation and the structure, there will be no film. I'm sorry. The Harlem Renaissance was
the trigger,
and it's the catalyst of where we even are now today.
Exactly.
Even today, because you did have to be that triple threat that you're talking about, or quadruple threat.
Exactly.
And being Black, you could not just be
one thing.
I can't be just a singer.
Exactly.
I can't just be an artist. And I think we kind of learned that from Madam C.J. Walker. You know, as we talk about finances and all that later, but you learn that these people are so multifaceted that they're not just one thing.
Mm-hmm.
so we, you know, I revere Langston Hughes as being the greatest writer, but that's because he is. But he wasn't just a great writer, he was a great storyteller. He wasn't just a great storyteller, he was a great poet. He wasn't just a great poet, he was an activist of his time. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you go on in life and you tell these stories and you hear these things, you're like, man, you came from where? Life, you ain't been no crystal stairs. You had to go. See, like, I'm about to quote the whole thing. You know? But so when you say the 40s, I just find that very interesting. I find that good. Now we're in the 20s. And
second 20s, y'all.
Right. We're in the 20s. So your 40s is coming up. What are we doing to get there?
Y'all know what we about to do? We are about to embrace our embarking on this journey because it's already happening if y'all aren't paying attention. All of the artists that are coming out now are doing 50,000 different things. I admire Lizzo so much because she has the same mindset of the golden age of Hollywood that I do. She does everything. She can do everything. And everything she does it with finesse. She does it with finesse in a way you're like, oh my gosh, girl, you really can do a lot.
She can do a lot, but she's getting on my damn nerves. Her and Summer Walker, I wish they just go back to a time and place where I didn't know. I was a big Lizzo fan, but now I just feel like, you know.
She does a lot. She does do a lot.
And so doing that much to me discredits your talent.
Mm-hmm. That's where Jill Scott is saying you cannot really be an artist if you have a gimmick.
Exactly. And I feel like Lizzo has too many gimmicks. I mean, the music is good. You can play the flute. You can act. You can dress the way you want to. You can be as provocative. But when you take that and you start prostituting your talent,
it's overbearing.
Yeah, because you shouldn't prostitute your talent. Your talent is there to make room for you. You have gifts to make room for you. So you create positions that weren't, that didn't even exist because of who you are. And so, yeah, you just got me started because I'm.
I know you just saw Lizzo. Yeah, okay, well then we gonna go over.
But I respect Lizzo, yes, because of what she's doing, because of body imaging and being able to be comfortable in her skin. That's all great and fine and dandy, but there's a limit to it because I feel like as Black people, we still have to uphold standards that other people don't.
We don't.
We come from a people who suffered to get us to where we are. Mm-hmm. We come from a people who were beaten, bruised, and died, and still singing Amazing Grace.
We come from generations of ridicule, but keeping it pushing.
So it's kind of one of those things. I don't feel like we should ever discredit what they did. Mm-hmm. Now we all make mistakes. We all gonna mess up. We all gonna be ratchet and do everything. Cause you know I'm ratchetly righteous. I love Jesus. I love God. I'm Black. I'm extra Black. I'm Eastie. I'm gonna be as hood as I wanna be. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there's a standard when I'm doing the things I do because we have to do things in excellence because we always have to outbeat our competitor. Cause the moment we don't outbeat those people, they take us right back to where we were.
Not to gloat, but it's natural for us to do that.
It is.
It's natural for us to outdo everyone else.
We are the original.
We are the creators.
We created this universe alongside God. Like, how is the God of all eternity living inside of us?
Right. I was watching a podcast that Kev on Stage did about who can use the N-word and who cannot use the N-word. And one of his guests said, we can't help it, but Black people are the new foundation for what is cool.
Right. But we've always been like that.
It's always been like that. And you know what? But it's more accepted now.
I don't even want to say, I want to say Black people, of course, because it's us. But it's our hip-hop culture, the music that they did not like, that they kept out of the Grammys, that they kept out of the Oscars, has had more influence on culture of the entire nation of American history
than
any other genre. Hip-hop, because hip-hop is not just music, it's a culture, it's a language, it's a feeling, it's a belief, and we've had the most influential thing. Now, we also do live in the age of the internet, so things get around faster and more rapid, and I was just talking to somebody yesterday, the internet is only 30 years old or something to that effect.
It is.
And we hadn't even tapped into its full potential and ability yet.
We're still working through it.
So that's crazy to think of where we could go in the 40s, possibly.
Right.
And how you will literally be like, I'm gonna have a meme, be like, yo, I'm gonna tell my kids this was Dorothy Dandridge. You listen to Up Until Love Radio. We'll be back.
Was a being an artist. Like,
what you mean, the feels of being an artist?
The feels of being an artist.
So we just over here talking, y'all. she didn't know. She was like, she was on and she was in interview mode. And I was like, you ain't being recorded. But then I start recording.
Right. Because
I like what she was about to say. But go ahead.
The feeling of being in artist mode is knowing that when you wake up, a song is probably going to be the first thing in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that you have certain things lined up that is going to help you accomplish your goals in your music. Like going to rehearsals, going to the studio.
Yeah, because we had a nice long rehearsal
Today was amazing. And it was an unexpected rehearsal.
Right.
Like those spontaneous jam sessions, those spontaneous writing sessions,
right.
Or even like just meeting with a producer, a beat making session. Those are the things that really get my blood flowing. Like last year, I was at the studio with Rob and Zay and Imani. And Zay said, this is the life that we're supposed to be living. This is like we're supposed to be.
Now y'all gonna meet Zay pretty soon. But for Zay to say something profound is really one of those.
Right. It's funny that I use Zay as an example.
All right, out of all the people you could have used, you used Isaiah.
But he said some real stuff like, this is the life that
it's
we're
okay,
supposed to live.
It's okay, it's unfiltered love radio. You can say shit.
Shit!
I know some of my audience don't prefer that language, but I do remind them, this is unfiltered love radio, and I really want people to be their unfiltered self.
Unfiltered self.
Yeah. So, what you got coming up for us? Because I was able to finesse her out of some music, and she's really selfish with her music and her art, and she's getting better at it, so I might share some with y'all. She let me. So, can I share with the people?
Yes, you can share.
Yo, so look, I got some stuff I'm going to share with y'all. But tell us what you got coming up. Tell us what you're working on while I'm doing what I got
to
do.
So, I'm deciding, I wanted to release an EP before the new year called New Year, New Me. But things didn't work out as I planned. I ended up getting injured, so that put me back a little bit. But I'm very much getting back into the flow of things. I already have 3 songs completed for my EP. They do need to be re-recorded. He is about to play one. It does need to be re-recorded. But I have, probably 2 more songs that I need to 100% finish. And I plan on releasing my EP on April the 1st. Now,
you a fool!
I plan on releasing on the 1st because for years people have been saying, Judy, you playing games. I'm not gonna believe nothing you say until da 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 da. Mm-hmm. So somebody gonna think it's a prank. Somebody gonna think it ain't real. Somebody is gonna.
I still think it's a damn prank.
Hey,
I'm one of those. Show me the money, Jerry Maguire type.
Show me
people.
The money. And I'm gonna show y'all the money. I'm gonna show y'all the money and see where y'all money is going. I don't even want any compensation from this EP.
So I could play this one, right?
Yes.
So look, I had to get permission, right? Because you know she's selfish with her music.
I am.
I thought I was selfish with my music, but Jesus, she worse than me. So introduce the song.
So this is React. Mind you, y'all, I am classically trained, so I can pretty much sing anything from jazz to rock. So that is really the compilation of music and art that I plan on bringing to the table, because no artist does that right now. No artist is just an artist. That's my definition. I'm an artist. I'm not an R&B singer. I'm not a soul singer. I'm not a pop singer. I am a singer, a vocalist. I does it all, baby. This is React. This is my jazzy song, and I hope you like it.
All right. So y'all gonna hear a snippet of React. I'm playing it from the part that, you know, I think y'all gonna hear and feel it. How does it feel? So that was React by Judy. But you know what? We couldn't really hear it clear because it needs to be, you know, mixed and mastered. So sing that part that we just heard for us. Sing and sing it, then I got some questions about that.
Okay. Now it's your turn. These are the lessons that you have to learn. Laid a few flames and know you have to burn. These consequences are what you have earned. Calling me, testing me, asking to see if it's the same as it used to be. And now I'm telling you, what is the deal? Tell me, just tell me, boy, how does it feel?
Can you sing me the ABCs?
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T,
what letter is R?
W, X, Y, and Z. Now I know my ABCs. Next time, won't you sing with me?
I'm not singing with you. I'm not singing with you next time. You better say, y'all better give it up for her. You better say that. So, in the song React, who are you talking to? What did this nigga do? Like that, because now this one my ratchet. So do you get your little ratchet Keke Palmer out? What does this nigga do?
Okay, y'all, he don't like Keke Palmer.
Pause, because Keke, if you listening, I love you. I just don't like how extra you are on social media. But anyway, go ahead.
This Keke thing is probably the only thing we disagree on. But yeah, I love probably. Keke Palmer, and she gets ratchet when the ratchet's necessary.
Nah. So. She Amanda Seals ratchetness.
Oh no!
They both get on my damn
Amanda
nerves.
Just be
I love them, but they get on my nerves.
Sometimes Amanda is necessary, but she overdoes it.
They both are necessary in times, but then I don't. It's so much more to them, and I know it.
It is.
And you're just putting on this persona for TV, and you're not really being authentic, you. But anyway, I love Keke and Amanda. Go ahead and tell us what nigga that pissed you off.
So y'all,
or female, because it could have been both.
So y'all,
she ain't trying to tell y'all the story.
That's I know,
but she didn't know I was gonna ask about it.
I didn't know,
but I listened. I'm a listener.
Okay, so in my last relationship,
how long ago was this last relationship?
The last relationship was May of 2018.
Oh,
we broke up in May of 2018.
So in her last relationship, you in a relationship now?
I'm currently not in a legitimate relationship.
So once y'all see these pictures and y'all hit this podcast, nigga shoot your shot, you know what I mean?
Oh, really?
Anyway, go ahead. I'm about to get you bad dates.
You is. You trying to put me on twins.
You the sub for these folks
and
all this
stuff, you know what I mean? They like, who is that?
Hey, yo, put me on. She bad. She got this Wakanda vibe, you know what I'm saying? Queen Sister.
Wait till y'all see me with my stone crown on. Y'all gonna love it. Y'all
Queen
gonna love
Sister.
It.
Queen Mother.
But in my last relationship, I had dealt with him for 5 years. Like, literally, I met him when I was 17. I fell in love. He fell in love with me. And it was just a accumulation of things. So, this man came from a very privileged background. And he really didn't comprehend most of the things that we went through. So, every time we broke up, it was like the things that I would be complaining about, like him not having a job, him not caring about himself, not wanting to do anything with himself. He would do those things while I was gone. And then soon as I come back, boom, like literally, oh my God. One time I got back with him, he had the job, and I asked him, I was like, okay, when's your next day off? He said, every day is my day off. I got fired.
Oh.
I said, oh, you just thought that was some cool shit to say, huh?
What?
You just thought that was okay, huh? I don't like that.
Every day.
Every day is his day off.
I got fired. You're the Self-Filter Love Radio. You only hear the truth here and here only. We'll be back. So you're the Self-Filter Love Radio. It's your guy, Calissus. We're here with
Judith.
Oh, yep, she over here choking off this shot that I gave her. So we were Judy. So man, she just told us a story about a relationship, being with a privileged dude. So would you do anything different in that relationship? Or what would you tell girls who were in that situation?
So
live through it or don't do it at all?
There were signs that I got, but when I met him, he was a college student. He had a place to stay. He had a car. He had things going for himself. Mm-hmm. And then he let the nature of America get to him because he's a foreigner. He's from Italy. Born mm-hmm. and raised in, well, he was born in Cuba.
Cuba?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yes. And then he was raised in Italy. So when he comes to America for college, he's just free and open. He was very free-spirited, way more free-spirited than I was at the time. So there are a lot of things that he did before that I ridicule him for that I do now. Mm. And that's the crazy part about it.
You know what? That's so amazing about life, though, because we're so hard on people that we literally become that we exactly. don't want to be. And you know, so for you, do you have any regrets in life?
Regrets in life. My biggest regret in life was not taking high school seriously.
Really?
Yes. The only thing I took in seriously in high school was chorus and my music and my art.
So, is that a regret or is that a learning lesson? Because let me tell you.
It's a learning lesson. It's a learning lesson.
You know, so I'm one of these people, like, I don't have regrets. Yeah,
I realize I don't live in regret. Everything I've been through has taught me something that I needed to know.
Right. And so, there are some things that I've done that are pretty bad and pretty whatever, you know, according to standards. But in me, I felt like they were necessary. I needed to grow through them. I needed to go through them. Mm-hmm. And I needed to experience something to help somebody else either not experience it or experience it. Because, you know, sometimes a lot of what we go through, a lot of what we do is not for us. So what I'll tell you is, you know, those high school years and the one thing you took serious is the one thing you're passionate about now is the one thing that's propelling you and that's going to make you go further and higher and get you to where you want to go because that's what's your passion, that was your purpose. And so we take things seriously that's our purpose. Mm-hmm. When everything else, we just don't. People say, oh, you should be doing this more. No. I should be doing what I'm doing more. And you may not understand it in the moment, but you will.
Oh, my God. And that's my whole thing. I explain this to my family so much. And that's the one thing that they don't get. Like, I want to put all of my energy into this. But they're so worried about me having money right now, me getting a job, and mm-hmm. making sure I had this, and this lined up. There was 2 years where I literally, all I did was go to work, come home, go to work.
Oh, I know.
Go to work, come home. But I was so depressed. My room was trashed. I didn't clean. Mm-hmm. I didn't get up. I didn't go anywhere because right. all I was doing was focusing on getting a check.
So, you know, and I've said this before and I'll say this again and I'm going to do a whole podcast on it pretty soon is us being millennials, we just live in a different time frame. We live in a different era. We live in a different world. Our manifestations are way different than their dreams.
So different.
Our manifestations, y'all, because so I need y'all to catch that nugget that just dropped. Wording. Our manifestations are different from their dreams. So we actually can manifest what other generations were dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And, you know, some of it is from their prayers and their covering and what they've done for us. But some of it is because we didn't follow the rules. Mm-hmm. Because we're not going to work at jobs.
I'm not a status quo person. My sister just said it to me. Judy is not going to do anything for the man. She's her own person. Judy doesn't do anything for the man. I don't even want to be on government assistance, y'all.
Right.
I don't.
And so, and that to me is one of my things. That's the resilience that we have and that we bring different from the next generation. However, I wish the earlier generations have started sharing the story that I'm starting to share and I'm starting to realize is that I wish somebody would have told us to be economically sound and then follow our passions. Because what I learned is that as we grow older and as we move on, we are, like, I'm literally in the middle of two generations. So when J. Cole say I'm big bro, little bro all at once, I am that.
Right.
And it's crazy to me because, wow, people calling me old, but then other people calling me, you're too young. And I'm like, I'm just here.
I feel like that's the balance of millennials as a whole.
Right.
Like, we're very much so in the middle. Like, we experience the digital age.
But they treat us like the middle child.
Exactly.
Because we were not a part of the industrial age, and we're not a part of the middle children. And we're not this next
generation. Us 90s babies, we are middle children.
Legit.
We experienced the invention of the internet. You know, social
microwaves,
media, everything.
Cell phones.
The digital age happened in the midst of us growing.
Yeah, so, but that's one of the things, like, when we talk about growing and becoming and doing things, we still have to be economically sound.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we forget, our art becomes so important that we forget about economics, and it takes money to build our art. So I always tell people, it's okay to have, I have a 9-to-5, but I'm still, this is my passion. This is it, like writing and music and speaking. Like, I'll speak anywhere. And I just have to learn how to monetize those things in order to get to where I'm going. But I also had to learn, you still got to work your 9-to-5 until you get that plateau and that level to where you're going. So never be discouraged from and let nobody tell you to go get a job and go do those things. But don't be so arrogant that you over there starving and you need to, and you know what, let me go work at Wendy's. Because, at the end of the day, I'm going to work wherever I got to work to get to where I got to go and maintain the lifestyle I want to live.
That's my thing. If I want to work here at this 9-to-5, don't make me feel bad for working here at this 9-to-5.
Exactly.
Okay? You want me to worry about, if this job pays 11 or if this job pays 13 and all that other shit. I got money to live. I have money to survive.
Right.
That's what I'm worried about.
Right. Until you can get that, for me, the billionaire status, because that's, the manifestation.
Yeah.
But until you get to that status of whatever financially secure is for you, live it. Be in your moment. It's your freaking
moment. It's my
moment. It's your moment, and don't let nobody discourage you from that moment.
Exactly.
Yeah. You're listening to Unfiltered Love Radio. We've been talking to Judy. We got some stuff to tell you. We about to wrap this one up. Yo, have you been told you're loved today? If not, Unfiltered Love Radio wants to tell you you've been loved. You listen to the guy, your mans, your boys, your unk, your whatever. Y'all know. It's Unfiltered Love Radio. Oh, man. Wait, you listen to Unfiltered Love Radio. Hold on. So my audience know Truly Fresh, right? Y'all know he's probably had the most interviews with me. Judy just said she gonna beat you Truly Fresh. So you just got called out, my guy.
This my first one, but I'm coming back for more.
Oh, so she coming back. So look, Judy, we appreciate you for coming. I just want you to know that the beautiful black, illustrious talent that you are, never let that go. Your spirit, your connectiveness, your just understanding of the universe and who you are and your place in it. Always keep that. And so tell the people where they can find you. Tell the people, just all the stuff you want them to know.
Alrighty, y'all. Okay, well, I'm still setting a lot of stuff up, but y'all can follow me on all my social medias. On Facebook, it is Judith Kwamboka Onwanga. Yes.
That's a whole lot, and y'all
that
know.
That is my full government name.
Right. Well, you gonna spell it for these niggas or something?
Okay, it's Judith, and then Kwamboka. K-W-A-M as in mom, B as in boy, O-K-A. Last name.
Don't try to pronounce it, though.
Last name, O-N-W-O-N-G-A. All right, on Instagram, it is Saharan Soul. And on Twitter.
Saharan Soul, what does that mean for you? Why did you choose that name?
I made my Instagram in 2012 or 13, and that's when I really started getting into my pro-blackness.
Gotcha.
And loving my blackness.
So even though you grew up that way, you
loving
still...
Loving me. Like,
yeah.
I was raised off of, jollof rice and ungali and plantains. Like, I was always raised...
Look at this accent coming. Ungali and plantain, jollof rice...
Like, it comes out when it wants to.
It's about to pop out.
It comes out when it wants to. Like, cause I'm a northerner and a southerner and a foreigner all in one. Sometimes you may hear the Jersey, sometimes you may hear the Virginia, sometimes you may hear the African and Jamaican. Sometimes it just come out in certain words. But Sahara soul means to me, like, that's me. The Sahara. the African embodiment, even though it's dry, it's beautiful. And even though a lot of people don't see it as a beauty, I do. And the people who need to see it as a beauty, they do.
So tell me this. If there was one thing that you would tell people that are in your position right now, mm-hmm. that are in the middle of, I know I'm finding who I am, and I know who I am, but I got plenty more to know. What word would you use to describe that?
Self-reflection.
That's not a word.
I know, but I had to say it.
That's a whole phrase.
I had to say it.
But self-reflection.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So being able to do a reflection. So speaking of self-reflection, since you used that, sing Reflection for Mulan for us.
I don't know all the words.
Look at me. Sing the part you know.
Who's that girl I see standing there back at me? Why does my reflection show who I am inside?
You listen to Unfiltered Love Radio. Y'all ain't gonna get that from nowhere else, Judy. We black appreciate
love,
you.
Black beauty, black bins, black bury the masses. We love you.
We love you. So look, you're listening to Unfiltered Love Radio. It's your guy, Kalissons. I appreciate y'all for listening. I appreciate y'all for coming through. I appreciate y'all for always doing it. Make sure you push that star button. You like, you share, you subscribe, and you share this message and this story with somebody, because you never know who is going to encourage. And if it encourages you, make sure you comment. Make sure you always join the conversation. You know, here we want to make sure we're having a dialogue. And our purpose, like I always tell you, is to be so that you can be lit. That way you're lifted, inspired, and transformed. And I just want to let you know, make sure you have a plan. Make sure you don't delay, and make sure you take a deep breath. Once you do those things, you're able to function and move through life and do what you're supposed to do. We are too distracted with other things and other people and even our own minds, right? Sometimes in our minds, we get so clouded and so foggy that we forget that we have a purpose too, and that we serve a purpose, and that we have to become a purpose. So say, I will become the purpose that I'm supposed to be. I will manifest good in my life. I will exude positivity, and I will be the purpose I'm supposed to be. Until next time, as we say around here all the time, be free and live your mega life.